This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, whoever builds a mosque for Allah, Allah will build for him a similar house in Jannah. And we know the great reward that will not only be gained, but rather will fill your grave after your death. Whenever someone prays there, whenever someone gives shahada in the masjid, whenever someone learns something in the masjid, yes, that will be something that you'll have on your scale.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? I recently came across an interesting part of a discussion between Katie Hopkins and Andrew Tate. For those who don't know, Katie Hopkins is effectively one of like the right-wing, ultra-right-wing outcasts, Islamophobes. Call her what you want to call her. She has a very bad record. And she's talking to Andrew Tate, who alhamdulillah became Muslim, but now has been kind of, I don't know, you could say allying a little bit too much, in my opinion, with the right wing or the far right wing, speaking to these guys in a positive manner, which I don't like that. But let's take a look at some of this video and come back and respond in kind.
Some of the best countries on the planet today are the first world Islamic nations, the safest places you can possibly be with 0% taxes, and you can invest your money safely and you can live a very peaceful life and your children will not be taught anything weird if you lived in Qatar or Bahrain or Kuwait or Dubai or
Saudi. Where do you live?
I currently live in Romania.
Why do you live in Romania? Because Romania is a Christian land, I noticed.
It is.
Why is that then?
Well, I moved here a long time ago.
No, Andrew, why don't you live in an Arab land?
Well, let's see what happens once
you
I'm
just told me
once I'm free.
You won't live there. You're going to come to Britain and probably hang around with me.
Save the population, perhaps. But my point being...
No, my point is, why don't you live in a Muslim land?
I would be very happy to live in Dubai.
So why don't you?
Because I can't.
Oh, yeah. No, I know you have a restraining thing here, and that's pathetic, and we know about that. But you would choose Romania anyway, as we discussed at the top of this conversation, because you like the feel here, you like the freedom here, you like the masculinity here, which I feel. But you wouldn't choose to live in a Muslim land.
Well, it's actually interesting because
you say that interesting when you're thinking of how you're going to respond and you don't directly respond to my question. Why don't you live in a Muslim land?
I'll directly respond.
I'd like that.
Me as a man, I find Eastern Europe appealing for the reasons you have said.
Yes.
However, if I were to raise my family or one of my families, or if I were to have to, in a worst case scenario, leave my family unattended, let's say I were to put my children and my wife in a house, I would choose a first world Islamic nation all day long. They're not going to learn anything stupid in school. They're going to be physically safe. They can be provided for with staff and help, and they're going to be very well looked after, and I know they're completely fine. I would never leave my child and my wife alone in London. Ever. I'd be by their side permanently because it's a failed country. And even here in Eastern Europe, although I think it's safe, it's a very much a man's world and a woman by herself might struggle to navigate it. I believe I could buy a mansion in Dubai and put a wife and three children in Dubai and I could go away for 6 months and come back and they'd be perfectly fine.
Well, it's very interesting here because she tried to corner him. And this is the thing, Andrew, and I want to say this to you directly, brother. Yeah, and I've got your number, of course, but sometimes you're busy, I'm busy, and we can't communicate on WhatsApp. So I'm going to say this very clearly. This little thing that she did there, this little underhand where she tried to catch you, yeah, this is emblematic of something greater that the far right have in store for you, bro. These people are not going to be loyal. These people are not loyal to you. People like Tommy Robinson and Katie Hopkins and these kinds of people, they're not loyal. When you are a member of a fraternity, a religious fraternity like Islam, we are bound by La ilaha illallah. The proposition that there's no God worthy of worship except for one God. That's what we're bound by. We're bound by something transcendental, something greater than ourselves. We're bound by the purpose of life. We're bound by the reason for our existence. When you got people like Katie Hopkins and Tommy Robinson, who I know full well because I'm taking Tommy Robinson to court by his own admission. He's received the legal papers. People like that. Weak cowards who, when they're confronted one-on-one, get slapped in the face. There's videos of him getting slapped in the face in Luton by one individual, one guy slapping him in the face and him not even responding to that, yeah? When you're allying or speaking or being friendly to people like that, just wait, because what happens is when they get a chance, they'll throw you under the bus. That's when you have an allegiance, a wala', an allegiance that is based not on the transcendental, not on the purpose of life, not on these kinds of things. But what I will say, Andrew, is, to be honest, I think you've done a good job in circumnavigating it. She wasn't tactful enough. I watched a video of him, actually, Andrew Tate. There was like a kickboxing fight where he was fighting like a 20-year-old. And this thing here, a 20-year-old, but he was very like impassioned and he was very like, you know, eager. And in the first round, he was giving Andrew a lot of trouble and stuff like that. In the second round, Andrew kind of tamed him. And I think he knocked him out in the second round. And this is something great about Andrew. It's a feature both in his debating skills and in his fighting. He's able to regain composure quite quickly when he's under pressure. He lets people try it. And then he kind of allows, it's a style, it's a tactic, it's a stratagem. He lets them try it, go for it. All right, okay, say no more. And then afterwards he comes and he finishes the job. In this case, Katie Hopkins tried to take him down. She tried to deliver a kind of decisive blow. And what Andrew done was he posited an excellent counter argument, okay, which is basically the argument from socioeconomics. Yeah, so the argument is basically this, is that those who are in a higher standing in terms of socioeconomics or who have more money are less likely to commit crimes. There's less likely to be problems and so on and so forth. And that, by the way, is a basic analysis that can be applied internationally. It can also be applied within a country. So internationally, in the sense that you can see countries acting with each other in that way. And in a country, like you would, if you want one predictor of who's going to commit the most crimes, it's those who are most impoverished and disenfranchised and poor. It doesn't matter what race, religion, or ethnicity they are. And it just so happens, for example, in the UK, there's a lot of working class Muslim people. Therefore, you'll find disproportionate numbers, according to prison statistics, for example, of Muslim people, according to the population, disparate to the population in prisons, because there's a disproportionate number of disenfranchised Muslims or working class Muslims in the UK, for example. So what he was making was an excellent point, and it's very difficult to argue against that point. So she retreated. Okay, so it's kind of reminiscent of that time the young 20-year-old tried to knock out Andrew Tate in the first round, and then he kind of dodged it and he knocked him out in the second. But the bigger point to be made here is that allying yourself with the far right, okay, I have to be honest with you, is going to be a big mistake. And a bigger mistake is trying to please everyone. Because to try and please the Muslim community while simultaneously trying to please the far right, while simultaneously trying to be a pro-Trump supporter, whilst trying to simultaneously being in the good books of Elon Musk, well, all that together, what you will do is you will actually, when you try and please everyone, you end up pleasing no one. All of them will drop you. And you could look at what happened with Jordan Peterson. Just look at his views. I was looking on his channel the other day, man. He had like 40,000, 50,000 numbers, sorry to say. Sorry to say, and it's not coincidental that that happened after he dropped the Muslim community, where he'd done it conscientiously. He kind of like threw them under the bus after we welcomed him with open hands, him and his family and his daughter and everybody. He tried dropping us, and the only thing that got dropped is his views. So what happened is this, is that you not only fade away into irrelevance, but you endanger looking unprincipled. So in sum, therefore, I will say that I think that when you align yourself with a community like the Muslim community and you align yourself purposefully and meaningfully, you'll find loyalty until you die, because we're bound together by iman, faith, and it goes all the way to the grave. Better than being connected to people like Katie Hopkins, of all people. And that's what I've got to say. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hey you, are you wasting your time on social media again? Your brothers and sisters in IslamNet from Norway are establishing a masjid, a dawah center. Establishing a masjid to convey the message of Islam is one of the best deeds a Muslim can do. There's a huge need for it in Norway. You know this and I know this. So that makes the reward even greater. So give generously and Allah Azza wa Jal will give you even more.